Well, I do thank the Lord for the privilege of being with you tonight. Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew? Can you hear me? Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 9. We'll read from verse 14. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Then come to him that is come to our Lord, the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees often fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, Can the sons of the bride chamber mourn so long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will have been taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one put a patch of new cloth on an old garment, for its filling up takes from the garment, and the worst rent takes place. Nor do men put new wine into old skins, otherwise the skins burst, and the wine is poured out, and the skins will be destroyed. But they put new wine into new skins, and both are preserved together. And please turn to Luke chapter 5. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. We'll read from verse 27 through verse 39. Chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things, he that is our Lord went forth and saw a tax gatherer, Levi by name, sitting at the receipt of taxes, and said to him, Follow me. And having left all, rising up, he followed him. And Levi made a great entertainment for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax gatherers and others who were at table with him. With them. And their scribes and the Pharisees murmured at his disciples, saying, Why do we eat and drink with tax gatherers and sinners? And Jesus answering said to them, They that are in sound health have not need of a physician, but those that are ill. I am not come to call righteous persons, but sinful ones to repentance. And they said to him, Why do the disciples of John fast often? And make supplications, in like manner those also of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. And he said to them, Can ye make the sons of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? But days will come when also the bridegroom will have been taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. And he spoke also a parable to them. No one puts a piece of a new garment upon an old garment. Otherwise he will both rend the new, and the piece which is from the new will not suit with the old. And no one puts new wine into old skins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the piece, and it will be poured out, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine is to be put into new skins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine straightway wishes for new, for he says, the old is better. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, he loved to use parables. Now, parable in the Greek means placing beside. A placing beside. Place one subject beside another subject to illustrate it. To illustrate spiritual things with familiar earthly incidents or objects. Now, our Lord used parables for a double reason. To those who have no desire for him, or to those who even opposed him, he used parable to veil the spiritual truth from them. And yet, on the other hand, to those who really have a heart for him and who desire to know him, they will meditate on the parables. They will come to the Lord for the explanation. And with parables, it makes the mystery of God even clearer and plainer. Now, I hope that we are not those who have no desire for him. If that is the case, then all we hear is a story. That's all. But if we really have a heart for him, there is great mystery hidden in these parables. And through these parables, the mystery of God is revealed. Now, before we go into these parables, actually our Lord Jesus spoke 5 parables on new and old. In these 2 passages that we have just read, Matthew 9 and Luke 5, the Lord made a contrast between the old and the new. And they are altogether 5 parables. But before we go into these parables, we need to know a little bit about the background. One day our Lord Jesus passing by a custom, and he saw a man sitting there. His name was Levi. And if you read the Gospel according to Matthew, you know Matthew is also his name. He was a tax collector. And the Lord said, "Follow me." So he left and followed the Lord. Then he invited all his friends, tax gatherers, publicans, sinners. These were his friends. He invited them to a feast. That is his way of saying goodbye to the world. And also his way of introducing Jesus to his old friends. So a great crowd was in his house, and they were there eating and drinking and having a good time. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they murmured. They dare not talk to the Lord himself, but they murmured to the disciples of our Lord and said, "Now why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they consider themselves as holy. They separate themselves from these publicans, these sinners, because they were holy. They would not eat with them and drink with them. But when they saw our Lord Jesus and his disciples were eating and drinking with these publicans and sinners, they were really surprised. So they said, "Why is it that you eat and drink with these sinners?" And our Lord heard it. So our Lord Jesus said, he said, "I do not come to call the righteous one, the self-righteous one. I come to call sinners." If you feel you are strong and healthy, you don't need a physician. But a physician is for the sick. Now, after our Lord answered their question, then they raise up another question. They say, why is it that we Pharisees, the disciples of Moses, and even the disciples of John the Baptist, we all fast, but why is it that you do not fast? You know, fasting in the scripture is a sign of afflicting the soul. When people have a burden, it is so heavy, they have to come to God, humble themselves, afflict their soul to the extent of abstaining from eating, sometimes from drinking, in order to seek the Lord and to find His will. That is fasting. But to the Pharisees and the scribes, fasting is a tradition. They fasted twice a week. They use fasting as a show of their piety. When they fasted, they did not comb their hair. They make long their face to show everybody that they are fasting. That's the way that the Pharisees and scribes fasted. You know, our Lord Jesus never goes for tradition. He always goes for reality. Fasting, in reality, is more than just abstaining from food and drink. Fasting, in reality, is fasting from the world, from the flesh, from self, from sin, and doing the will of God. That is fasting. Now maybe if you turn to Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58, there you find our Lord God challenge the Jews of their fasting. We'll read from verse, well, we can read from verse 3. That is what they say to God. Wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not? Have afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find what pleases you, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye have fasted for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye do not at present fast, to cause your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul, that he shall bow down his head as a bulrush, and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and a day acceptable to Jehovah? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to send forth free the crush, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring to thy house the needy wanderers? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Now that is fasting. So here you'll find these scribes and Pharisees, they follow a tradition, they fasted, but it was just an outward appearance. There was no reality in it. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite of reality. So our Lord Jesus again used a parable. He said, when the bridegroom is present, the sons of the bride chamber do not fast. But when the bridegroom is taken away, then the sons of the bride chamber will fast. You know, according to the Greek word take away, it means violently taken away. Now, who is the bridegroom that our Lord refers to? Who? To himself. Our Lord Jesus is the bridegroom. And he is here. His disciples are the sons of the bride chamber. So when he is with them, there is joy. Fasting is not the time. But one day, the bridegroom will be violently taken away. And that refers to his crucifixion. And when that time comes, then his disciples will fast. Now, after our Lord Jesus answered two of their questions. One question is, why do your disciples eat and drink with publicans and sinners? They wouldn't do it. But our Lord and his disciples did it. And the second question was, why do you not fast? And the Lord again answered them and said, because the bridegroom is here. Now, after he answered these two questions, then he spoke five parables on the new and the old. Now, these five parables reveal the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These five parables show that there is no mixture, no confusion, no blending together of the new and the old. And this is what our Lord wants to teach us. So tonight, we would like to go through these five parables of the new and the old very briefly. The first one is in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. No one puts a patch of new cloth on an old garment, for its filling up takes from the garment, and a worse rent takes place. Now, I think it is evident. No one will cut a piece out of a new cloth and try to mend the hole in an old garment. No one will do that. Now why? Because if you do that, it will even rent the old garment more. Because new cloth means unbleached. And a cloth that has not been treated has the tendency of shrinking. So when you put a piece of the new cloth and try to mend the hole of the old garment. When you wash it, it shrinks and it rent the old garment even more. Now that is evident, isn't it? You won't do that. Now I may do it because if I haven't read this, probably I'll do it. But this is common sense. Nobody does it. But strangely, when you apply it to the spiritual realm, you find that most people are doing just that. Now, what is a garment? You know, in the scripture, you need to find the meaning of the garment. Now, the way you do it is, if you read enough passages on garment, then you begin to see what garment represents. Now, garment in the scripture represents our outside conduct, our outward behavior, our conduct. It is like a garment that we put on. It refers to righteousness, for one thing. You remember in Isaiah chapter 64, it says, our garments are filthy garments, are filthy rags. Now, isn't that true? That so far as man is concerned, so far as we are concerned, before we know the Lord Jesus, we all have a garment over us. And this garment is an old garment. We have had it for so many years. Now, individually, maybe you have it for 15 years, 17 years, or like myself, much longer, much, much longer. I won't tell you. And when you think of mankind, the old man has worn that garment for 6,000 years. It must be very old now. And it is like rags now. Holes everywhere. As Isaiah said, our righteousness is all as filthy rags. We consider ourselves as righteous, as good. But when you really see what your good, what your righteousnesses are, in the sight of God, they are filthy. What we consider as our best, most virtuous, in the eyes of God, it is filthy. Not to say our sinfulness. And it is in rags. It has been broken into pieces. It cannot cover our nakedness. That is our situation. But here is new cloth. Now, new cloth here represents the life, the walk of our Lord Jesus while he was on earth. Before he was crucified, unbleached. When our Lord Jesus was on earth, there is a righteousness that is perfect. You know, in the New Testament, there is only one passage, one place that uses this term, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only once in the whole New Testament. I won't tell you where. You try to find it.
our Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, he has a righteousness of his own. He is right before God in every respect. Heavens opened and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm satisfied." You look at the life of our Lord Jesus while he was on earth. It's perfect. It's a new cloth. It's a new cloth. It's not made into a garment yet. Not finished yet. That refers to the finished work of the cross of our Lord Jesus. But the new cross refers to the life of our Lord Jesus before his crucifixion. His righteousness. He is right. Sinless. Perfect. On this earth there is only one person who is sinless, perfect. Who is all righteous in the sight of God. That is our Lord Jesus, the perfect man. Now, you cut a piece of that cloth. You take something of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and try to mend your hole. You know you are not perfect. But you think better of yourself than you really are. You think you still have some left to cover your nakedness. And all you need to do is patch these holes. And you try to take some of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus and apply it and put it into your life, and by doing that you think you will be covered. Many are doing that. Even Nicodemus, you remember that night he came to the Lord? He was the rabbi of Israel, an old man, righteous, virtuous, educated, the teacher of Israel. But he was humble enough to know that he was not perfect. So he came to the Lord and tried to get some more teaching from the Lord, to teach him how to patch up some of the holes that are still there, so that he can enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what our Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you're born from above, you do not even see the kingdom of God." Many people, they realize they are not perfect. So they say, "Well, we must imitate Jesus." People who consider themselves as very moral, moralists, well, they said, "All the scripture, we love the Sermon on the Mount. So we will imitate Jesus. We will take the Sermon on the Mount and try to obey and follow that teaching. Then we will be perfect." Many people are doing that. But the thing is, the more you try to imitate Jesus, you find the more you are rent. More holes. Because the more you try to imitate the Lord Jesus, the more you realize you're far far away from Him. You realize your sinfulness. When you see His purity, you begin to see your uncleanness, your impureness. You have ulterior motives, selfish motives. When you see His love, you realize your hatred, your jealousy. So the more you try to imitate Jesus, the more you'll find your garment, your old garment, is rent even bigger. Why? Because your old garment is set. It cannot expand anymore. It's fixed. But the righteousness of our Lord Jesus is new. It has the power of shrinking. Your own righteousnesses are old. It is one with the world. What the world thinks, you think too. There is no more that shrinking power there. But the righteousness of our Lord Jesus has the shrinking power. It will separate you from the world. It will sanctify you. That's the difference. And that's the reason why you can never try to put the righteousness of our Lord Jesus upon your self-righteousness. Because if you try to do that, it only rent it more. The old and the new are incompatible. Now, do we see this spiritually? Then our Lord Jesus go to the second parable. That is in Luke chapter 5. Verse 36. And He spoke also a parable to them. No one put a piece of a new garment upon an old garment. You know, this is different from Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 9 verse 16 is a piece of new cloth. It hasn't been made into a garment yet. Just a piece of cloth. And you take some. Now here you'll find this new cloth has already been made into a new garment. It's already a garment. But you cut a piece from the new garment and try to put it on the old garment. Now, of course, nobody is so foolish to do that. If you cut a piece from the new garment, you spoil the new garment. You know, and if you put it on the old garment, then you find the piece from the new garment will also shrink, still continue to shrink, and it will again break even bigger, that hole. So nobody is so foolish to do that. I think even I will not do that. I think I know that much. Not to spoil the new garment for the old garment. But many people are doing that spiritually. The new garment speaks of the finished work of Christ. While He was on earth, He was like a new cloth. But now this cloth has been made into a garment that can be put on. You remember when the prodigal son came home. The father ran to him, kissed him, kissed his neck because he's stiff-necked. And then put the new garment on him. Because he was in rags. The rags had to be take off and put on the best robe on him. The best robe is that new garment. And brothers and sisters, we all knew that this new garment speaks of Christ, our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. But God clothes us with Christ as our righteousness. Now, this is different from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you study the scripture, I think you should be very careful. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is his personal righteousness, not yours. And because he has that righteousness, he is worthy to be our substitute. He is the Lamb without blemish. And only a sacrifice without blemish can be offered. You know, brothers and sisters, if we offered ourselves, God would not accept. And if we die, we die in our sins and for our sins. And no one can die for another person. Because if you die, you die for yourself. If I die, I die for myself, for my own sins. We are not qualified to be a sacrifice. To be a sacrifice, a substitute, it has to be blameless, without blemish, pure, perfect. So, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus is his personal righteousness that gave him the qualification to be our substitute, to be our redeemer. But once he died on the cross, then you find he is made into a new garment. He can be put upon us as our righteousness. So it is not his righteousness as our righteousness, but him as our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Do you see the difference? I hope you do. There are lots of people, when they seek for salvation, they always try to cut a piece from the finished work of Christ and try to put on their old garment. In other words, yes, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus. Plus, we have to do something too. Many people are unable to really receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Put on the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they always say, yes, we need to believe in him, but believing in him alone is not enough. We have to do something also. And in doing that, you find it rains even bigger. So if you want to come to the Lord, you have to take off your old garment. That dirty rags must be put off. Then you can put on the new garment, Christ as our righteousness. We come to God only on the basis of being clothed with Christ. We do not come to God on our own. We never come to God on Christ and on ourselves. No. Every time we come to God, we are clothed with Christ. God sees Christ. We are hidden in Him. And because of this, we are accepted. This principle is not only true when we first come to the Lord, this principle is true in our daily Christian living. And that's the reason why both in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, it says that put off the old things. Put off the old man and put on the new man. So every time we come to the Lord, remember, there is no mixing of the old and the new. Everything that belongs to the old man, to the old garment, has to be put on. Not only what you consider as bad, but also what you consider as good. Not only what is sinful, but even what you considered as virtues. Everything that belongs to the old garment has to be put on. There is no compatibility between the old and the new. And daily we need to put off the old and put on the new, and being renewed daily according to His image. That is the gospel. And then the Lord turns to the third parable. The third parable is, nobody puts new wine in the old skin. You know, in the old days, you do not have bottles. In the old days, they use the skins, the sheep skin or the goat skin, you know, and they use the skin and they put the wine in the skin to store the water or the wine skin. Now, nobody put new wine in the old skin. That's common sense again. Why? Because new wine is still fermenting. So it still has the tendency of expanding. But the old skin is so old, it has lost its elasticity. It is fixed. So when you put the new wine in the old skin, it will burst the skin. And then the wine will be spoiled. So you lose both. Nobody will do that. It's common sense. But do you know, spiritually, people are doing that. The scribes and the Pharisees are doing this very thing. What is the new wine? Wine represents life. Wine gives you joy. You drink it. So it speaks of the inner life. The inner life. New wine speaks of the life of our Lord Jesus. It's new wine. His life is always expanding. Brothers and sisters, remember this. The life of our Lord Jesus is never static. It is always expanding, always growing. You cannot confine it. That is the very nature of the new life, the life of our Lord Jesus. That's the wonder of the life of the Lord Jesus. Never grow old. Never come to a time when his life seems to be stale. Never. If you know the life of the Lord Jesus, it is ever new, ever expanding. Extending. Growing. That is the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, old wineskin speaks of our old lifestyle. You know, we all have our old lifestyle, our old habits, our old relationships. We have this old wine in us for so many years. And we develop a way of life, a style of life, a habit of life that suits this old man and contain that old man, because both are old. But once you receive the life of the Lord Jesus into you, you will find this old wineskin is not able to contain that new wine anymore. If you try to put the new life of the Lord Jesus in your old lifestyle, sooner or later, it will burst. The wine will be poured out, and your old lifestyle will also be broken. You cannot keep on living the old way anymore. Because the life in you is expanding. You have to change your habits. Probably you have the habit of rising late. You like to sleep. And you do not even have the time, because when you rise up, you have to rush to school. You have no time to be with the Lord. But the new life in you is expanding. It will expand in you and say, no, this old wineskin doesn't fit. You have to change your habit. You need to rise early and have a time with the Lord before you go to school. Do you feel that life in you is demanding that? Or you think that even after you believe in the Lord Jesus, you can keep on with your old lifestyle? Nothing happened? if nothing happened, it only shows that it's old wine in the old wineskin. There's new wine, no new wine there. If there is new wine there, it's bound to burst the old wineskin. And that's the reason why everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus will find, sooner or later, he has to change his lifestyle to suit the new life in him. You have to change your friends. Your old friends do not fit anymore. If you're faithful to the new life in you. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that break with your old friend right away and say, no, I don't know you anymore. No. You can keep on, but don't increase your friendship. And if you don't increase sooner or later, they will decrease. Sooner or later you'll find that you have to find new friends. Friends in the Lord. What you read, what you look at, where you go, all these will have to change. Your relationship will have to change. Because the new wine doesn't fit the old wineskin. It bursts the old wineskin. You have to put the new wine in the new wineskin. Then both will be preserved. Now, this is true not only individually. This is also true corporately. When the new life of the Lord is there, it breaks every tradition of the fathers. You know these scribes and Pharisees? They keep the old wineskin. That's their tradition. They consider their tradition as the best. They are comfortable. Why? Because theirs is the old life. The old life likes the old wineskin. And they try to put Christ into the old wineskin. You keep the tradition. You don't keep our tradition. You're wrong, because you don't keep our tradition. But the Lord said, no. This new life cannot put in the old wineskin. Judaism is the old wineskin. When the Lord comes, that old wineskin, old system, the same thing with Christianity. Christianity today has become an old wineskin. It has lost its elasticity. It is fixed. It cannot change. You have to follow. But when the life of Christ comes in, it will break the system. There is no compatibility between the old and the new. That's the third parable. And the fourth, of course, the Lord said, put the new wine in the new wineskin. Then both are preserved. That is the clever thing to do. The right thing to do. But remember, you need the new wine. And then, according to the nature of the new wine, you get a new wineskin for preservation. You do not try to prepare a new wineskin first, and then hopefully the new wine will fill it. That is not the right order. The right order is seek the new wine. And with the new wine will come the new wineskin. You know, people, instead of seeking the life of the Lord, they try to change their environment, change their way of doing things. If you do something new, something novel, something different, for different sake. Now, that gives people a kind of feeling that it is new, and hopefully it will be filled with new life. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You do not change the outside. What is important is seek the inward life. If you really seek the inward life, drink of Him. We need to come to Him and drink of Him. The drink of Him is to drink daily, drink continuously. It doesn't mean that you drink once and that's it. We drink continuously of Him. And the more you drink of Him, then you'll find this life within you will expand. And the Spirit of God will lead you into a new wineskin. So you find the new wineskin is not a pre-prepared form or system. It is the outcome of that new life. You will find it true individually. If you seek the life of the Lord, sooner or later you'll find the Holy Spirit will bring to you a new lifestyle that will keep the new one and expand with the new one. The same thing is true corporately. If we seek the life of the Lord, when the life of the Lord is growing among the brothers and sisters, you will find the Holy Spirit will give us a corresponding wineskin that is new, that is expanding with the new life. It will break the old one. That's the reason why we say the church is not an organization. We do not have a program. We do not have a system. Because all these are old wineskins. They can contain the old wine, but not a new one. We need always be open and flexible and be led by the life of the Lord in us. When His life expands, then we need to be flexible and not say, well, this is the way that we always do, therefore this is the way that we will continue to do. No, it will break. If you don't, you lose both. History, church history, is a proof of this truth. And even if you don't have church history, your personal life will prove this. You cannot be fixed, brothers and sisters. You have to be flexible. According to the inner life, then both will be preserved. Okay, the fifth parable. That is again in Luke. He said, no one who has drunk the old wine, one that drinks the old wine will always say, the old is better. Now, in wine business, that is true. You know, that's the reason why they have to drink a wine that is 100 years old, and it's very expensive, and it's very tasty, it's very good. I know nothing about wine. As a matter of fact, if I drink any wine, my face will all be red. Everybody will know. I cannot touch it. But anyway, you'll find that in this world, the old is always better. But spiritually, it is just the opposite. The new is better. You remember that feast? Marriage feast in Cana? Usually, you know, in the old days when they have a wedding, it's not like modern wedding, you know, just a reception, that's all. In the old days, you have feast for several days. Now, the Jewish people at that time, they have feast for several days. So people all come and feasting for several days. So what they do is, of course, they put the best first, you know, and after you are already drunk, they give you the poor wine. You don't know the difference. But in that family, evidently this young couple were very popular. So lots of people come, more than they expect. So after their feasting for several days, all the wine were gone. And you remember how Lord turned the water into wine. And when that wine was presented to the feast master, he tasted it. He said, where do you get this? People all put the best first, and this is the best wine. That's true. Spiritually, the new wine is better. Which is better? Your old life or the life? But we need to develop a new taste. You know, as a matter of fact, if you drink of the Lord Jesus, it creates within you a new taste. You know, in Psalm 34 it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste Him to see that He is good. But once you have tasted Him, it develops in you a new taste. And you want more of Him. That is the story of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. He has tasted of the Lord, of the Beloved. And she wants more. A new taste has been developed. Now, brothers and sisters, do you have that new taste? Or do you still have that old taste? Do you still taste the old wine better? You still taste the world better than the Lord? You still taste the amusement of this world better than fellowship with your brothers and sisters? If there is still that old taste there, something is wrong with your life. You are not living in a new life. You are still living in that old life. Repent turn to the Lord and taste Him, and He will create in you a new taste, a taste for Him, a taste for His Word, a new taste for prayer, a new taste for fellowship, for gathering with the saints. We need to develop that new taste. And the more you drink of Him, the more that taste will increase in you. So again, you'll find, brothers and sisters, what the Lord is trying to tell us is this. There is no mixing of the old and the new. Whether it is our outward conduct, lifestyle, or whether it is our inward life. Thank God He has made all things new. We are a new creation. We have nothing to do with the old. And this principle is a very basic principle to our Christian life. So I do hope that even though these five parables seem to be very basic, very fundamental, elementary, but these five parables tells us a very important lasting principle, and that is, we who are in Christ is a new creation. Everything is new. Whatever is old, let it pass. And let God make all things new. May the Lord